morning. I want to speak to Brian Rowan. Brian, good morning.
Hey, Frank.
Brian, Red Hand Commando. Mm-hmm. I can't think of a group or organisation that would put the fear of God through people back in the 70s, 80s and 90s any more than Red Hand Commando. They killed a significant number of innocent people, as did other terrorist organisations. Are they looking for some sort of dispensation now?
Well, basically, the story is, Frank, that they have made an application to the Home Secretary for the organisation to be removed from the list of UK prescribed organisations. In other words, to legalise the Red Hand Commando, to legalise that title. So just to set the background, the Red Hand Commando was part of the combined Loyalist Military Command, which announced in October 1994 the ceasefire, which was a response to the IRA ceasefire at that time. Then in 2007, along with the UVF and the Red Hand Commando has been affiliated and associated with the UVF throughout the conflict period, said it was ending its armed campaign, assuming what it called a non-military and civilianized role. Now, its application for deprescription contains 100-plus pages of information covering the period of the past decade, so going back to that statement in 2007. And that document was delivered to the Home Office last week and also to the independent reviewer of terrorism legislation. What happens now is there's 90 days for the Home Secretary to respond to that application.
So does that mean that if the Home Secretary responds the way those making the application would like the Home Secretary to respond, that being a member of Red Hand Commando is just like being a member of any organisation that is respectable and regarded in society?
The title becomes legalised, that's right. And this is very much, Frank, a test case. So there were two statements yesterday. There was a statement from the Red Hand Commando, but also a statement from this umbrella organisation, the Loyalist Communities Council. Now, what the LCC statement said, and just to remind you about the Loyalist Communities Council, you'll remember when it was announced, when it presented itself, Tony Blair's former chief of staff, Jonathan Powell, was at that news conference. He talked about it being a last best chance for loyalism to become re-involved in the peace process. So there was a statement from the Loyalist Communities Council. I'll give you a couple of sentences from it, Frank, just to give you a flavour of what is developing. So in it, it says, it is many years since the Red Hand Commando was engaged in violent or criminal activity. And it then goes on to say, the Loyalist Communities Council hopes that Her Majesty's government will recognise that this application is made sincerely and in good faith and will respond positively. This is the statement from the LCC that I'm quoting. It then goes on to say, it is further hoped that this course being taken by the Red Hand Commando can lay out a roadmap for the transformation of loyalist groups in general, and that this action might be followed in due course by the two other main loyalist organisations. So in other words, if this application was successful, then it may be followed by applications from the other two organisations who were involved in that 1994 ceasefire, the UDA and the UVF.
So if it was successful, the test case, we could in the future have a situation where being in the Red Hand Commando, being in the UVF, being in the UDA is all totally above board and legal.
But let's not get ahead of ourselves, Frank, because while the statement from the Loyalist Communities Council says that, you know, it has been many years since the Red Hand Commando was engaged in violent or criminal activity, the Red Hand Commando saying that in the period since 2007, none of its members have been charged or are being in court, all of that is about to be tested. So one will imagine now that the Home Office will want a very detailed intelligence, security, policing assessment of this organisation, the Red Hand Commando, before it makes any decision. And if the application is rejected, Frank, then what comes back to the loyalists, to use their words, is an itemized bill. What has been found in that intelligence and security and policing assessment, and then there can be no further application for another 6 months, as I understand it. But you know, we're at an early stage yet. I think it's right, always right, to have a question mark and questions about these things. But that doesn't mean we should be so judgmental as to dismiss the initiative immediately. Let those who are best placed to do so test what has been said in these statements, and let's see what the response comes back from the Home Office in this period of 90 days.
Would it not be insulting, however, to all the victims of Red Hand Commando if they were made an acceptable and legal organisation?
Well, there is not going to be one reaction to this development. Here we are in 2017, still talking about organisations linked to the conflict period. So I suppose if this application was successful, it would at least say to people that progress is at last being made. You know, and some people will not understand or ever understand why more than 20 years after those original ceasefires of 1994, almost 20 years after the Good Friday Agreement, that we're still talking about paramilitary organizations, loyalist and Republican. But we also, Frank, have an unanswered past. Many people with questions who are waiting for answers, not sure what process will be created to for those questions to be put and answers to be made, and they may consider the cart before the horse here. Why would any of these organizations be made legal ahead of some accounting and answering of those questions that date back into our conflict period?
With regards to proscribed organizations, are there others that have been downgraded from being proscribed organizations?
Well, there was another term, Frank, during the peace process period that came into play. Organizations were either specified or de-specified. So if you were de-specified, that meant that your ceasefire was recognized, and you know that many of those organizations benefited from prisoner release. But on the prescribed list of organizations, you know, the groups that you would expect to be on that list are still on that list. So the IRA, the INLA, the UDA, the UVF, the Red Hand Commando, the Red Hand Defenders. So, as I say, this is an application from one of these organizations from the conflict period asking to be deprescribed. And what they've done in that application, Frank, is they've produced a document of over 100 pages, making their argument and their case to be removed from the UK list of prescribed organizations. But what they've also done is what I said a minute ago. They've now put themselves on this stage where there is going to be a very bright spotlight, and there is going to be a very detailed scrutiny of that organization before the Home Secretary or the Home Office will come to any decision about whether this application should be accepted or rejected.
Yeah, I'm just looking at a list of prescribed organisations, and when people think of Red Hand Commando, they do think of murder, they think of mayhem, they think of innocent lives being lost. And then you look at the other organisations, the Continuity, IRA, Common Na Bon, the INLO, the Irish People's Liberation Organisation, the LVF, the Loyalist Volunteer Force, the Official IRA, Provisional IRA, Real IRA, Red Hand Commando, UDA, UVF, and on it goes. Loyalist Volunteers, did I mention them? The Loyalist Volunteer Force. There's every one of those groups reminds people listening to this programme of death, of destruction, of loss, of bereavement. And there will be people who will be thinking, if this is the beginning of chipping away at making it acceptable to say you're in the Red Hand Commando or any of those other groups, you could, you know, go around and fundraise on behalf of Red Hand Commando. You could have a dinner dance for Red Hand Commando or any of those others that I mentioned. People generally are hardly ready for that.
Well, they will be. You know, there is no doubt that people will be outraged, and we're seeing some of that already on the Twitter account of the organisation Relatives for Justice. You know, asking, is this some sort of April Fool's prank? And it goes back to that point that I made earlier, that we still have this unanswered past. We still have all of that hurt out there. We have organisations who were involved in the conflict period who have benefited from prisoner release, and now they're asking to be legalised. Now, there's never going to be one good response, Frank, or one response, I should say, to that sort of application. So within the loyalist community, it may well be welcomed as a step forward, particularly if the Home Office come back and said, look, this organisation has not been involved in violence or other criminal activity for a decade or so. That would be seen by some as decent progress. But to take it that further step then and to legalise an organisation that was so deeply involved in the conflict period, and to open the door for other potential applications, well, that's not going to sit easy with many people, Frank. So we're at a very early stage of this. The application's been made. We don't know if it's going to be accepted. We don't know if it's going to be rejected. We've no outcome to it yet. But before any decision is made, and you know, I've made this very clear to you, I would expect that there will be this very detailed security, policing, and intelligence assessment of the Red Hand Commando. There won't just be an acceptance of the words in the two statements that were given to me yesterday, or in the document that has been given to the Home Office.
Red Hand Commando and the Ulster Freedom Fighters were often hand in glove. We sometimes would lose track of which...
Red Hand Commando and the UVF, Frank, would have been the two groups that would have been associated with each other.
Yeah, this is the very question I was going to ask you, because yeah. Red Hand Commando and the Ulster Freedom Fighters, they both claimed responsibility for the killing of Myra Drum when she was killed in hospital. But one of the point I was going to make, we sometimes lose track, and as you're saying, I'm absolutely doing that, of the Red Hand Commando being close to the UVF, Ulster Freedom Fighters close to the UDA. Is that right?
That's right. That's absolutely right. And the point that's been made very clearly in this statement is that if this application is accepted, it could lead to other applications from other organisations who would then be subject to that same test and scrutiny that would come from that security and intelligence spotlight. Now, this thing hasn't come out of the blue, Frank. It's been something that has been discussed over a period of some years. And within loyalism, there is an argument being made that this might be the first step to try to separate out, if you like, those within the loyalist community and organisations who are genuinely committed to a peace process, and separate those out from those loyalists who are involved and continue to be involved in criminal activity. So the Red Hand Commando has subjected itself to a test and to scrutiny, and if any other applications follow this one, well, then they will be subjected to the same test and scrutiny. And we might all get some better idea at that stage of what the assessment of these organisations continues to be.
So if they get what they're looking for, ultimately the provisionals could also get the same thing.
I can't imagine the IRA would be applying to the British Home Secretary to legalise that organisation. So let's take it, as I say, Frank, one step at a time. We have one application at this stage, and what we have in that statement from the Loyalist Communities Council yesterday is an indication that if this one is acceptable, then it may lead to similar applications from other loyalist organisations.
Yeah, they may not apply, but ultimately they could be seen in the same light.
But there is no suggestion of such an application at this stage. And of course, despite what the security assessments say, Gerry Adams will tell you that the IRA is no longer there. There was a very clear security assessment done in October 15 saying that all of the groups from the conflict period, all of the main groups, are still there in some structural form, but no longer engaged in the type of terrorist activity which was the day-to-day news of this place for several decades.
One final point, Brian. Would they have been encouraged to take this step?
By whom?
By people who are trying to sort out Northern Ireland once and for all.
I don't think this is a kind of political prompt of any description. I think it is something that has emerged within a loyalist conversation. And to go back to that formation of the Loyalist Communities Council and what Jonathan Paul was saying at that time was this is the last best chance for loyalism to become re-involved in the peace process and to be taken seriously within the peace process. But this application from the Red Hand Commando is not going to be judged on what they say in their statement or in that document that they've given to the Home Office. It's going to ultimately be judged by what comes back by way of the policing intelligence and security assessment.
That's a very interesting development. Brian, appreciate your descriptions.
You're
thank
welcome.
You. Thank you. Brian Rowan, right, good morning to you. Your opinions are very welcome, by the way. Do you ever imagine the day where Red Hand Commando wouldn't be seen as a terrorist organisation that killed innocent people, that dealt in drugs, that basically was a menace to society? Do you ever think you would see that day coming where they might get a form signed by the Home Secretary to say, guys, you're in business. You can be as upstanding as you wish.